This isn't actually a sermon about forgiveness, although that may be what this morning's about for you. That's not actually what the sermon is about. The sermon is about something even bigger than that. It includes forgiveness, but it doesn't stop there. The sermon this morning is about saying yes to God, period, in all the different ways that we should. If you haven't been with us for the last few weeks, we're in the middle of a sermon series called Say What You Need to Say, inspired by John Mayer's song of the same title. Now, we're not looking to John Mayer for our answers, just appreciating his music and recognizing the basic insight of the song. Sometimes there are things we need to say. And this morning we're talking about saying yes. There's a passage of scripture in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 21, that I think deserves our attention and respect. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Now that verse gets at something that's very important. It's one thing to say it, it's another thing to do it. We can call Jesus our Lord, but that doesn't mean that we're actually willing to let him be Lord of our lives. And as you've heard me say before, and probably lots of other people, if he's not Lord of all, he's really not Lord at all. We live at a time when walking away from commitments is easy. We live in a culture where walking away from commitments is easy. But Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no, no. That means being a person of your word. It means that we should take our commitments seriously. Now, I do want to say this morning, I am glad that all of you made it through our most recent climatological crisis. I know some of you were worried. For some of you, it was probably pretty close. Actually, we all know the weather didn't do very much around here. But in Washington, D.C., it was a serious storm. And not all the government employees in D.C. took the day off. Some folks chose to live their commitment in a way that was pretty profound. Several years ago, Allison and I were in D.C. with the boys at Arlington at the Tomb of the Unknowns, and a story was told about the terrible weather that came through related to the hurricane just before our trip. The weather was so bad that those who guard the Tomb of the Unknowns were actually given permission to seek shelter, and they chose not to. Just like in the midst of the cold and the snow and the rain, they did their duty. They lived their responsibility. They honored their commitment. That's a picture of what commitment looks like, what being a person of your word looks like. The scripture passage I've chosen for this morning is one of the parables of Jesus. It's not one of the ones that we frequently hear. It's not one that gets studied very often. Preachers rarely preach from it. And I don't know why. It's a story about two sons. It's not the two sons in the story that we're really familiar with, the prodigal son and his older brother. This story is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 28 through 32. This is the story that Jesus tells. He says, "What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work today in the vineyard.' 'I will not,' he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, 'I will, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did what the father wanted?" "The first," they answered. Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe." Would you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together, Lord, be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Last night, I blew it. In kind of a big way, I blew it. I was supposed to bring the children's ministry planning material home for Allison because she's doing children's church at 11 o'clock. She called me. I think she actually sent a text, asked if I would. I said yes, but I didn't. Sort of like one of the brothers in the story. Now, I hadn't intended to be dishonest. I got preoccupied. I actually was here in the office, and I went back to working on today's sermons, and I forgot. I think we can all agree it would have been better if I had stopped what I was doing, had gone to go get those materials, had put my keys on them so that I wouldn't forget them, so that I couldn't forget them, right? That would have been better. But you know what would have been best? If I had been so preoccupied with meeting the needs of my beloved that her request never left my mind. Now that may sound silly or overly romantic or whatever, especially when it comes to church school curriculum. But what if the one doing the asking wasn't my wife, but was our Lord? And what if it wasn't about curriculum, but it was about doing the will of the Father? What might the world be like? How might our lives be different if we not only remembered to do what God had told us to do, but we were preoccupied with doing it? For one brother, the mouth says yes and the actions say no. For the other brother, the mouth says no, but the actions say yes. One says no, one says yes, one does the will of the Father, one does not. I hope you can hear me. Not only is saying yes the right thing to do, but God works through those who say yes. I mean, think about it with me. You know these stories. Noah said yes. And because he did, the human race got a second chance. Abraham said yes when God told him to leave his home and go to a land that I will show you. Abraham said yes when God told him to sacrifice his son Isaac. In fact, the scriptures record that he got up early to be obedient. Moses said yes when God called him to lead God's people out of captivity under Pharaoh. He was reluctant, he made excuses, but he obeyed. Gideon said yes. David said yes. Josiah said yes when God inspired him to lead his people in a renewal of their covenant relationship. Jonah said yes. You do say yes, right? Yeah, and the Jonah in the Bible said yes. He said no at first, but eventually he did say yes. Mary said yes. Joseph said yes. The apostles said yes when Jesus called them to follow him. God uses those who say yes. I don't think the idea that God uses people who say yes could be illustrated any more clearly than in Jesus' prayer of relinquishment in the garden on the night of his betrayal. Do you remember the story? Jesus is praying. He understands what's to come. He is burdened by it all. And these are his words as he prays. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet, not my will, but thine be done. His will or your will? God's will or our will? That's what this morning's about. His will or our will? It may be that what you need to do this morning is say yes. You may know right now the yes that you need to say. You may know what your yes needs to be. This sermon may be over for you already. If so, I hope you will say yes now and spend the rest of the morning listening for other ways that God might still want you to say yes. For the rest of us, let's think in broad terms about the kinds of yeses that God may be waiting to hear from our hearts. How do you need to say yes? Maybe you need to say yes in direct obedience to God's revealed will. I'm talking about the explicit commands of Scripture the very clear positive teachings, the responsibilities that we have. I mean, start with the Big Ten, the Ten Commandments. Do you remember? They're not all don't do this and don't do that. Two of them are expressed in positive terms. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Honor your parents. Think about the Beatitudes, the core of Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, and all that he says about who we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to live. Think about the way Jesus summarizes the whole of the law in the two great commandments, to love God and love neighbor. Think about his final instructions to the disciples, the Great Commission, to go and to teach and baptize in his name. Think about Matthew 25, where he talks about feeding the hungry and giving drink to the thirsty and welcoming the stranger and clothing the naked and visiting those who are sick and in prison. He said that we're supposed to forgive as we've been forgiven. He said that we're supposed to go to those that we've wronged and to seek reconciliation. He said that we should go to those that we feel have wronged us and to seek reconciliation. The list could go on and on and on. So let me just ask you, how's that going for you? I'm not asking you if you're being obedient to the parts of God's will that you don't know. I'm not even asking if you're being obedient to the parts of God's will that you ought to know because it's in the scriptures. I'm asking, are there areas of God's will where his will for you is absolutely clear, you know it, and you're being resistant? You're being disobedient. Is there, even now, at this moment, something you know that God has told or taught or commanded you to do, which you know you need to say yes to right now? Maybe you need to say yes to the forgiveness that's made possible in Jesus Christ. I hope that everybody here has already reached that place. I hope that everybody that's here doesn't need to hear what I'm about to say. But let me just ask you a couple of questions. Do you admit that you're a sinner? Do you repent of your sin? 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Do you admit you're a sinner? Do you repent of your sin? Do you believe that Jesus suffered and died as an atoning sacrifice for your sin? Do you believe that Jesus rose victorious over the grave? Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Do you admit you're a sinner? Do you repent of your sin? Do you believe Jesus suffered and died as an atoning sacrifice for your sin, not just sin in general, but for yours? And do you believe Jesus rose victorious over the grave? And do you trust him and him alone for your salvation? In case you're wondering, the answers to each of those ought to be yes. Do you need to say yes to any of those this morning? Do you need to say yes to the forgiveness, the salvation, the hope that is made possible in Jesus? Maybe you need to say yes to God's call upon your life. Is your life his or yours? And that's the fundamental question. When I was the youth and college minister at First United Methodist Church out in Tulsa, Oklahoma, we had a service that was led by the youth ministry that was attended by folks all throughout the church. It was the contemporary service in the Youth and Family Center. I'll be honest, there were not a whole lot of older folks that came. But there was one guy who came all the time. All the time. He would go to the early service in the cathedral sanctuary where they serve communion every Sunday morning, and then he would come over to be a part of our service. And when people would ask him why, when I asked him why, the ways he would answer the question would vary, but the bottom line is, I love being around young people, and I hope that I can help them get excited about saying yes to Jesus. I asked him one night if he'd share his testimony at youth, and he did, and he came. And he talked at length about the heartbreak of his life during a season when he lived in outright rebellion against what he knew to be God's call upon his life. He would later admit to others that he had felt decisively called by God to the mission field. And because that was going to require him giving up a number of things that he'd invested his hopes and dreams in over the years, he said no. He never went. Now, part of his testimony was that God's grace meant that the rest of his life wasn't always only second best. He was very clear with our students that the God of second chances forgave him. And he was equally clear that the God of best wine had blessed his life. He didn't have to live second best forever because of God's grace. But he wanted our kids to know the joy of saying yes to God at the time God calls you for the thing God calls you to. Like I said, in his case, it was a call to missionary service. In your case, it may be to something else entirely. It might be to be a missionary. It might be to be a pastor or a leader in the church in some way. But it might be to a different vocation than you have now. Or it might be not so much about doing something else for a living as living your life a different way. Are you prepared to say yes to God's call upon your life? Is it your life or his? Or maybe the yes you need to say is a yes in response to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Some of you have been in leadership meetings with me here in the church, and one of the things that people often hear me pray in those settings is a prayer like this: God, help us to be smart and to work hard. But more than anything, help us to make decisions that can't be explained away by how hard we worked at it or how much we thought about it. We want to make decisions that give evidence that we listened to the guidance of your Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? God gave us brains. He wants us to think about things. He wants us to use those brains. And God gave us the strength to work. We ought to work at things. We ought to give it our best effort. But if it's our best thinking and our best effort that can explain away the church that we are, we're not yet the church he's called us to be. Because God's vision's bigger than that. We ought to use our minds and we ought to work hard. But God, help us to make decisions that give evidence that what we did ultimately, in addition to our hard work and our good thinking, was to listen for the leadership of his Holy Spirit. Some of you were here Wednesday night at the State of the Church dinner, and I told a story there that some of you have heard me tell before. It's about a childhood experience that I had, a childhood experience that's shared by a lot of people. My grandfather asked me to do something that I didn't want to do. We were in the kitchen, and he was repairing something, and he sent me to the shed in the backyard to go get whatever tool it was that he had discovered he needed, and I didn't want to go because I was scared of the dark. And he told me to go. He took me to the back door, and he said, "How far can you see?" I said, "I can see to the porch." He said, "Go that far." He said, "How far can you see?" I said, "I can see my way down the steps." "Well, go that far." "How far can you see?" "I can see my way to the shed." "Well, go that far." And before long, I was in the shed, had the tool, was on my way back. And the lesson's pretty simple, right? Use the light you have now to walk as far as you can see. Be obedient to whatever part of God's will God has revealed to you. And if we'll be obedient as far as we can see, then God can lead us where he wants us to go. In fact, the truth is sometimes we can't be trusted with the whole picture. Do you remember the story of Abraham and Sarah? God said, you're going to have a child. And when it didn't happen in the time and the way they thought God must have intended, do you remember what they did? Sarah gave Abraham her handmaiden, Hagar. And they had a child. They took into their own hands achieving what they thought to be God's will, instead of allowing God to bring his will to pass in the way he intended it to unfold. Sometimes saying yes means waiting. Sometimes saying yes means walking as far as we can see. Sometimes saying yes means saying yes to someone asking you to do something that you don't want to do. Sometimes saying yes means saying yes to God when he asks you to do something you don't want to do, like in the video we watched. It applies to big things like the direction of your life and God's call upon it, and it applies to smaller things, responding to the daily nudges and whispers of his Spirit. How do you need to say yes? So what's the good news? What's the good news this morning? The good news, at least in part, is that grace abounds. For those who initially and disrespectfully disobey, there's forgiveness and there are second chances. For those who quickly and disingenuously say yes and then fail to follow through, there's forgiveness and second chances. That's the good news. At least, that's part of the good news. But it's also good news that God has chosen to use us in his plan for the redemption of the world. You've heard me say this before. God doesn't need us. Not in any absolute or fundamental sense. There's no insufficiency in God. There's no lack in God. There's nothing about God that leaves God in need of us. But God, in God's sovereignty, has chosen to use us. God invites us to be part of his plan for the redemption of the world. That means the salvation of the souls. We get to be a part of it. The restoration of the image of God, that's a work he does, but he invites us to be a part of it. The transformation of the world into the kingdom of God, that's something he invites us to be part of. God invites us into his work with him. He doesn't need to. He doesn't have to. He chooses to. And I don't know about you, but when I really think about that, it wrecks me that God would choose to invite me to be a part of his awesome plan. Why should I even get to be a part of that? And I guess that's really what this means. We get to do this. Do you realize that whatever it is that God calls you to, whatever it is to which God expects you and wants you to say yes, do you realize that whatever it is something that you get to do, not something that you have to do? It's not a burden or a duty or a mere responsibility. Our yeses are privileges. And we can say no. Our freedom's real. And God will find another way. And God will still be glorified. We talk at times about how God can use what he wouldn't choose. That God not only manifests his sovereignty providentially by shaping things in advance, but also redemptively by using what he wouldn't choose. That is true of our disobedience as well. That is even true of our disobedience. Our Calvinist brothers and sisters have a point. They're right about something very important. Even the dead animal on the side of the road testifies to the glory of God. That may be a strange or unfamiliar image to you, but the point it makes is this. The carrion on the side of the road, the dead animal that bakes in the sun, just lying there. It testifies to the glory of God in that it gives evidence that God's laws will not be broken. It may be a sad thing that it died, but it gives evidence to the fact that God's laws will not be broken. Instead, what happens is we break ourselves against them. Our freedom to choose is real, and our choices have consequences, but God will receive God's glory. John Wesley, the father of the movement that gave birth to our church, once said, "I'm not afraid that the people called Methodists should ever cease to exist, either in Europe or America, but I am afraid lest they should only exist as a dead sect, having the form of religion without the power. And this undoubtedly will be the case unless they hold fast both to the doctrine, spirit, and discipline with which they first set out." Choices have consequences. Our freedom is real. I said earlier that the greatest yes ever spoken on earth was spoken in the garden by Jesus on the night of his betrayal. And I meant that. And technically it's true. But there is another yes, of which that yes is simply an echo. It's a resounding echo, a powerful echo, but it's an echo nonetheless. The greatest yes ever spoken was uttered by the Trinity in the quiet of eternity and was then echoed in the garden in Jesus' prayer. Here's what I mean. For a God who exists outside of time, co-eternal, in the Trinity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the decision to create was also the decision to allow freedom, was the decision to endure the fall, was the decision to come in the incarnation. It was the decision to endure the experience of the betrayal and the abandonment of that final night. It was the decision to say yes to the crucifixion and yes in the resurrection. It was the moment of the ascension, and it is yet still the moment of his second coming. For a God who stands outside of time, the decision to say yes to one was the decision to say yes to it all. It was always the whole plan. For a God who stands outside of time, not only is he present to all of history throughout history, but all of history is present to him in this moment, any moment, every moment. Saying yes to creation was saying yes to the incarnation and the crucifixion and the resurrection. And Jesus' prayer in the garden, his yes in that moment, was an echo of the yes that was said in eternity long ago. He has said yes to us. The question is whether we will say yes to him. We can, because he did. We can say yes to him because he's already said yes to us. The band's going to come and play, and we're going to pray. How do you need to say yes this morning? If you know, if you've known since we got started, if you know, then do it. If you know how it is that God wants you to say yes right now, say yes. And then by his grace, with his help, be a person of your word and do it. If you need to know, if you're not sure, if you're sitting here open to it but unclear, then ask God to show you. And if right now you feel like the truth is you're in a season of waiting, then resolve in your own heart what the answer will be when the time comes. There's tremendous power in a prior decision. If you decide ahead of time, I'm going to say yes to God, even before I know what the question is, it can be a beautiful thing. If you can decide you're going to say yes even before you know what the expectation is, what the opportunity is, what the privilege is. And remember, We get to do this. Let's pray.